Hey guys, welcome back to the Staying Christian podcast. I'm here with Gavin Hobbs.
And I am here.
My name's Eli Chamley.
My name's Gavin Hobbs.
We're here to give you some grand old encouragement.
This is the Staying Christian podcast.
Let you know that staying Christian's pretty worth it.
Yep.
It's pretty awesome. We're really excited.
Also, if you expected some old dudes talking about how staying Christian stuff, well, we're two young dudes instead, so surprise, surprise. If you couldn't tell that from the album, yeah. The cover art, I guess.
Yeah, well,
so
maybe if you're blind, I'm sorry.
And that Gavin is true, just, I didn't think about
Gavin
that.
just insulted you. He's like, you should have just looked at it.
But yeah, we're going to have a bunch of good stuff, hopefully, in this episode. Hopefully you guys enjoy it.
Yeah. So you guys probably think that 2020 is the worst year ever, don't you?
In my lifetime, well, I mean, what was that one? 11. It's not 7-11, but...
2011?
Not 2011, 9-11.
Oh, 2002.
Yeah.
Oh.
That could have been
a... Or was that 2001? That was 2001.
That was.
You weren't even alive, Gavin. I mean, don't want to hear
close.
It. Unanimously, historians have claimed that the year 536 AD was the end of the world, or like the worst year ever, because there was a big volcanic eruption. A lot of people think it was Krakatoa, but a lot of people also think it was an Icelandic volcano, but it like covered a lot of the earth in volcanic ash, made stuff very cold, and plunged them, like it was the Dark Ages, because it was dark from volcanic ash.
Wow.
Literally. And then it started the bubonic plague that went through Europe.
Wait, that was the... Oh!
Yeah.
I remember reading about this in history. Oh, yeah. That was a bad year.
And then...
Bubonic plague? That's no good.
What was it? There was... Oh, yeah. I was watching the video on the theory that it was Krakatoa, and they were saying that it was the reason the largest city in Mexico at the time got destroyed. Because of the famines and the droughts.
Right.
And, like, it was the reason Rome fell, because of the plague, and also the horse masters, the conquerors, whatever they were called, the outlandish people, the outlanders.
Right, the nomads.
They came in and took over because they were so stricken with plague. On top of their other issues that I'm not going to get into.
Krakatoa and a bunch of other, yeah,
right.
Wow.
But that's infamously the worst year. Not to mention, when you were born in late 1800s or early 1900s, you had to deal with World War I, the Spanish flu pandemic, the Great Depression, and then World War II.
Right.
So.
And here we are in 2020 complaining about masks.
Oh no, I have to stay inside.
Staying inside.
Dog it's true
it.
That it's global. And when right. I think about global, I'm like, oh, now it's global. But like, wow, I'm a baby.
Oh, yeah. So basically, you guys, Eli is calling you guys a load of
you're
wimps.
Babies. You're babies. No, I'm just kidding. Just get over your sickness. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Please. Please.
Just
I'm
send
kidding.
Him hate mail. It's okay.
Send me hate mail. It's fine. But I thought all that was interesting. I don't know if that's interesting to anybody else.
Yeah, that
but, like,
is.
Real historical events.
Certainly provides perspective.
Yeah. Would really suck to be living then.
What is it, 1500 AD or something?
536
yeah,
AD.
Krakatoa blows, you got the bubonic plague, rats everywhere, people with beak masks.
It was the equivalent to
Rome
like
falling.
A great, great many of atomic bombs, so...
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, that would...
Be thankful, you guys.
Yeah. So I know I was kind of... probably insulting when I was like, hey, get over yourself, blah blah blah, blah. I saw something. It was actually a few weeks ago, since Gavin didn't want to record this podcast a little bit ago. It's Gavin's fault. But I saw this thing, and this girl was talking on a video. She was talking about how the story in Mark 4, the end of Mark 4, when all the disciples are sleeping in the boat or whatever. Like they were going across, some of them were sleeping. They woke up to the storm, and Jesus was still sleeping during the storm.
Right.
And they were like, oh my gosh, there's a storm. We're freaking out. And then Jesus wakes up and he calms the storm.
And wasn't he like, oh my gosh, you guys, what little
faith
says, you
have? Yeah, he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They're like, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. And They said, oh, before that, they said, teacher, don't you care if we drown?
And yeah.
But the thing is, they were so convinced that they wouldn't have had a storm because Jesus was there. Like, they were like, oh, a storm? Oh, no. It's like, but what she was saying was, we can go through hard stuff and be like, oh, just forget, because we think we're immune to hard stuff because Jesus is around. We're not going to get hard stuff.
Right.
It's like, no, you're not immune to storms because Jesus is in your boat.
Right.
But have faith that he will calm the storm. He'll get you through it.
Wow. Where did you read this? This is really good.
It was actually a TikTok. But it's, she had a really good point though.
Most unlikely. That is really good.
It was
actually.
Like, they expected the storm not to happen because Jesus was with them. And we expect to not go through any hard times and lose faith when we see rough stuff. It's like, he promised we'd go through hard stuff. We just got to keep having faith in him.
Right, but he also promised to be in the boat with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wasn't trying to say, hey, dummies, you think you got it hard, look at the early times. But I am saying, have faith, guys. You know, we can really get to like, oh, no, our countries are falling apart and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff happening. But he didn't say that stuff wouldn't happen. He said he would be there.
So I'm actually thinking about taking out the random Bible verse segment. I know, it's okay.
No.
Because actually I had a listener point out, it's like, why don't you guys bring instead verses that actually mean something to you? Because I feel like those might actually, they're going to hit harder for other people as well because they mean something to you.
Yeah.
So I really agree with that. Anyways, so here I go with, I guess, my personal verse segment.
Ooh, personal verse segment.
I don't know what to
only
say.
Only on the Staying Christian podcast.
That sounds like an ad. Anyways, I was reading in Mock as usual, and I read this one that was interesting to me. This is when Jesus was talking, giving the parable about the vine keeper that he sends all of his servants. They all like get beat up and killed, and then he sends his son, his only son, and his son is killed, which is surprisingly like very analogous to what actually happened.
I think he meant for it to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, this last verse and thing he said was just very interesting. It said, I tell you, he will come and kill those farmers and lease the vineyard to others. He's talking about the the father, the dude who owned the vineyard. And then he says, didn't you ever read this in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. Hmm. And I'm like, how is this? Number one, I was thinking, how is this related? But also on a completely separate note, I'm thinking, he says right here, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. He's like, this one stone, this person everyone else rejected, it was a really good thing. I'm like, God cares about those people that are rejected, those stones, those things that are rejected. And he's making it. It's wonderful to see that God is now using it as the cornerstone, which is like the most important part, which is kind of like a good, Brant Hansen always talks about this in his podcast.
Yeah.
It's like, he's taking these unworthy, these misfits, you know, and turning them into something wonderful to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
he's using the least of these.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was really good to
that makes me think about is I was talking with some guys the other day, which I told you about briefly before we started, but we were talking about how God introduces himself in when he's speaking directly to a person. He mainly says that he's the healer and that he's the God that loves first.
Mm-hmm.
And then he brings out his justice and he says, but I am, you know, this is what I can do.
Right.
But I love you, so don't make me do this.
Interesting.
And I don't know, you were talking about the vineyard, the vineyard keeper.
Right.
Going and taking care of it. I was like, that's interesting because it made me think of that again. But also, he's the loving God. You know, what other God does that? And announces himself as that. You know, there's always, oh, I'm the God of death, fear me. You know?
Right. But instead, he's like, I'm the rejected stone.
Yeah.
And God's, I don't know. It was cool. And it's also, I'm just now realizing it, but also it's, he tells that whole story, you know, and it's basically a metaphor of what happens to him.
What happens to Jesus, yeah.
Right. And then he talks about himself. Yeah, he's now going to be that cornerstone that everyone rejected, because people did reject him. They put him up on the cross. I don't know. That's actually really interesting. Hmm. That's how it relates, actually, I think.
Maybe my thing was a little off.
No, it made your left thing, field. Your thing's good. I liked it. That makes sense as well. It's just like, because he did come and he administers justice in the end of that parable. Like I read, he came and he killed everybody, which is terrible, but
right.
He's like, he did send everybody there,
yeah.
Even his son.
Yep.
So that's like kind of a morbid thing to end.
Well, it was kind of like, hey, I'm the loving God first, you know.
Right.
Kind of regrettably, I have to give out justice to you.
Right.
Because you didn't listen.
And even though I sent everything. You
know? Yeah.
So I don't know what the moral of this verse is, except listen.
Yeah. No, I think you were trying to say God uses the least.
Yeah.
And like everyone looks to celebrities or whatever else to be their leader or to be the perfect person. But then
instead,
God uses the smallest of us.
Yep, and not just using them regularly. He's gonna use those of us that are the misfits and the outcast and no good for the cornerstones.
Right.
You know.
Which, if you don't build buildings with stones, and you don't know, those are the main important parts. Right. They keep up the roof. They keep up.
Without the cornerstone, it's nothing. You know.
Right.
Yep. So that's all. That's my.
Your spiel.
My spiel.
Your little
on
spiel there.
Bible verses.
Your spiel, eh? Welcome back to the new music segment.
A classic segment.
The classic segment. What's your song, Gabe?
Well, I'm going first? Okay, I wasn't expecting that.
Well, I can go first.
You go first. No, you go first.
We had to re-record this because Gavin chose a weird song earlier to listen to.
Yeah.
This one's still weird, but...
It's a vibe.
It's all right. My song is by a band that I used to listen to a lot called The Grey Havens.
A good band.
And I still would like to listen to them some more, but I got caught up in John Mark McMillan world, and so I would only recommend and listen to them. Oh, and 10th Avenue North, because they're like my favorite band. But these guys, they're a couple, and their name I think is based off of the afterlife from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But this song is called Inheritance, and it's funny, it's based off a boat. It's like the kind of a boat thing.
Just like
I was talking about
thing, yeah.
And I didn't kind of realize until we were here, but I'll read you some of the lyrics. There's a ship that bears the name Inheritance. It's pulled by golden chains, and with calm assurance it carries on. Those aboard the ship were once among the ones who scoffed at it, but not a single one was lost to it. We'll treasure and hold on to the light before us. We'll be confident and bold if we know the light is for us. Forever we'll see and know we will ever be lights reflecting the inheritance. The inheritance. We will treasure and we will hold on. Talks about the darkness that we're contrasted against as sons of God or women, daughters of God.
Yeah.
And how... you know, for those who believe and for those who are there. And the main lyric that always stood out to me was the being made of people who used to scoff at it and are now made believers and believe. And I don't know if that's something that I just think about, but the song's really great, especially if you like hearing cool dock sounds before you listen to a song, because it's got like a boat near a dock and you hear the waves and it's really nice. I really like it all around. It's really happy.
Right.
Just reminds me that I'm on an adventure with a bunch of my friends.
Right.
Believing in the creator of the universe. Not like it's some kind of, oh, we're a club.
Right.
But like, it's a real together thing. You yeah. know?
Yeah, that's really good.
Inheritance.
Done good, Eli. Yeah.
By the Grey Havens.
It's got a lot of good, thoughtful lyrics. That's what I love about the Grey Havens.
A lot of the Grey Havens lyrics are just really thought out. They're like, here is it. And we're like, oh. I could listen to a song like 4 times and not get part of it until I listen to it the 5th time.
Right. My song is The Wolf by Mumford & Sons.
That's a good one, too.
I don't know. I feel like I've been listening to Mumford & Sons recently, like today, or it was yesterday, actually. I heard someone, and I'm like, that sounded a lot like Mumford & Sons. And I'm like, I need to listen to them again. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, I just want to listen to them. And they just have, they actually have a lot of thoughtful lyrics as well. Some of the other stuff is like, okay, this is just strange. But
some of their stuff is a lot of like love stuff, like breakup kind of thing.
And right. Then
some of it's weird, but yeah, some of it, like The Wolf is really fast paced. It kind of makes you feel like a montage.
Right. But what was interesting to me is I'm reading the lyrics now. It's got, like, you could interpret it a lot of different ways, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But the way I always saw it when I listened to it is one of the verses is, let's see here. Been wondering for days how you felt me slip your mind, leave behind your wanton ways. I want to learn to love you in kind. And then it also says, sheltered, you better keep the wolf back from the door. He wanders ever closer every night, and how he waits, begging for blood. I promise you everything will be fine, something like that. But the way I always saw this song was like the wolf always represented temptations and other things in my mm-hmm. life trying to take over
yeah.
that wanton for God mm-hmm. in my life. That's the way I always heard it, how he begs for blood. And I was like, I don't know. And for me, that's how I always interpreted it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was meant with something else.
I kind of feel that way too.
But
yeah.
I don't know. That's how I always listen to it. I'm like, that wolf is coming after us, temptations. But
mm-hmm.
it's, and how you felt it slip your mind. For me, I'm like, God slipped my mind, and that wolf is coming in, actually right. taking blood. I don't know. That sounds really corny.
No, I got you. Yeah.
But, I don't know if there's a... Yeah, the last verse is, because you were all I ever longed for. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, God is all we right. ever longed for. This is probably not what Mumford & Sons meant it to be, but this is totally how I interpreted it.
Yeah.
So that's my song.
The Wolf.
Mumford & Sons, baby.
So Inheritance by The Grey Havens and The Wolf by Mumford & Sons.
And we'll drop these in the
playlist.
Show notes below. Yeah, in the playlist.
Fake Christians. Not like calling anyone out in particular, but being like... I know I can and have gotten to the point where I've been not following God
mm-hmm.
and claiming to be a Christian and being actively detrimental to the church.
Right.
You know, not being like, oh, cancel every fake Christian you see. I don't want to do a cancel culture thing.
Right.
But I was like, for me, I know I've gone off track, said or done some things mm-hmm. that if someone looked at me and said, that I was a Christian, they'd be like, no, he's not.
You yeah. know?
And I know I've done those things. And it's to be, I was like, maybe I should call attention to the fact that we can do that. Or that, and to be looking constantly, like, am I not like, oh, I always gotta look and make sure I'm not a horrible person.
Right.
It's like, no, just take your thoughts captive.
Right.
Be conscious.
Check yourself, yeah.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Right.
No, but like, not just for you, even though for you, that's a big thing.
Right. But for the example you set for others.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something I should have worded differently or whatever. I don't know. I was just thinking about that today.
So, since this is a podcast about staying Christian, I wanted to bring some encouragement. Not only for you guys, but for myself, because in the future I'll be listening to this. And we as Christians need encouragement because we get a lot of stuff basically externally everywhere mm-hmm. telling us, don't follow God,
yeah.
Follow me, I'm money, follow me, I'm your phone screen, follow me, I'm this, you know that.
Follow me, I'm you.
I'm your yeah. flesh, follow me, you know. So some quick stuff. One of the things that we need to be doing as Christians that I firmly believe in is, as God said, what's the top commandment? It's to love the Lord God with your mind, body, soul, spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the top one. So that's what we need to be doing every day. But I also feel like it shouldn't just be like this internal, like you just, oh, I need to love this. But that also translates to look around yourself, stop thinking about you so much, and look at the people around you, because... Mm-hmm. God's working right around you. You just got to look around and find it and take care of those people around you. What is God trying to teach you today?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've got part of that. I was talking with a bunch of guys a little bit ago, and we were talking about that exact thing because someone had said, how am I supposed to love the Lord God all my heart, soul, strength, mind, and love other people? You know, don't I have to divide it up, do 50-50, 80-10, or 90-10, you know, whatever? But the truth is, when you're loving other people, you are loving God, because God is in those people. God made those people. Second thing is, it's a form of worship to be a servant. And you're worshiping God by doing what he says to do, or doing what he asks of you.
The greatest of these will be the servant of all.
Yeah. And so, I don't know if that's encouragement.
No,
other
that,
than
that's, yeah, that's
that seems
insightful.
Like such a giant task. Like, oh, I've got to force myself to love God. It's like, no, if you're truly, truly grateful for the sacrifice and the atonement, I guess is the right word to use.
Yep.
Then are you not wanting to to do all you can for Jesus, for God?
Right.
And then it's like, oh no, okay, how do I do all that? It's not as complicated as I've got to separate all my time. It's love, you know, seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God.
And the greatest of these is love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a song lyric, but.
The greatest of these is love.
Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God.
Oh, okay.
And the world.
John
that's
Mark Millen?
Casting Crown.
Oh, okay. You need to listen to them. But yeah, that's all. I just wanted to basically throw out some encouragement because we as Christians need it. And Eli just wrapped up whatever I just said perfectly.
I think something is, we tend to be like, oh, Christianity is super complicated, which at some points it is. But I've realized that's when the people you're talking to have a different definition of the stuff you're talking about. You've got to talk about it and explain it, and it's complicated.
Right.
But really, it's simple.
Yep.
It's really simple.
And we like to make it a little more complicated.
We like to make it harder on ourselves.
Right.
Honestly.
Well, I feel like it's complicated, but then it's simple. It's like the mustard seed. You know, God's like, it's the kingdom of God is like this mustard seed. And everyone's like, what?
It's like but in Psalms, it's got ramparts and walls, and we're supposed to admire them and walk around.
It's like, it's this complex thing, but also it's this simple mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's
it's harmony
all I have.
And like all of the gears of a clock, but it's harmony. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Take heart, my friends, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
We can do this. Keep following God. Keep going after him. If you fall, get back up.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it, you know?
We're right here with you.
You can get back up every single day. You got that new option. You can begin anew.
Yep.
Be perfect like
Make
God is
Make the choice
perfect.
Every day.
Yep. Yeah, that's all.
Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the Staying Christian podcast. Really happy you did. We hope you enjoyed it. Hope you were encouraged. I'm also talking to me because I listen to these far too often instead of doing actual Christian things, because that's how I am. I had an incident where I was listening to the podcast and then I'm like, oh, I'm all Christian-y, and someone taps me on the shoulder. I'm like, what do you want? You know? So I'm talking to myself. Be encouraged. Go about your day. Hope you're encouraged.
Yeah, this has been the podcast. I guess you can follow us on Instagram at Staying Christian.
And if you've got hate mail, you can send it to us, or suggestions or song suggestions, you can send it to Staying Christian Podcast.
Staying Christian at gmail.com.
Sorry.
All right, you guys, stay real.
Stay Christian.
And then on TikTok or whatever, and I'm like, of course, yes, this is amazing.
It was. I'll show you the video.
I just think it's amazing that you found that on TikTok. That's incredible.
She goes, she talks about how
it's actually really bad. Like, I feel like all Christians are actually guilty of this, and a lot of them don't realize it, but it's so bad it can actually be a danger to our faith. Y'all know the story where the disciples are out at sea with Jesus, and the storm happens, and the disciples start freaking out, and they get Jesus, and Jesus is like, guys, calm down, where's your faith? I always read that story, and I'm like, why did the disciples freak out? Like, they should have known Jesus was in control. And I think the disciples freaked out because they didn't even expect the storm to happen in the first place because Jesus was in the boat with them. So because they thought they were immune to storms because Jesus was with them, they freaked out when the storm happened. And that's what we do as Christians. Christians all the time. We think our life is supposed to go smoothly because Jesus is on our side. But God never guaranteed immunity from storms. He never said we wouldn't go through trials. God's presence was never a guarantee that the storms wouldn't happen. It's a guarantee that we will have peace in the midst of the storm. So rather than expecting the storms not to happen, we should expect peace
through them.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I was like, wait a minute.
Also on TikTok. You're you encouraging TikTok?
No, Eli? It was actually a TikTok put on Instagram. So technically I watched it on Instagram.
Okay.